You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The Clement Manyathela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
So, the police minister Bheki Cele and the state security deputy minister Zizi Kotwa visited Inanda yesterday, where three women were killed in a drive-by shooting at the weekend. Those women were attending an ANC branch meeting. ANC branches have been meeting to finalize their lists for candidates in the upcoming polls. There's also a task team on political crimes in KwaZulu-Natal now investigating the killings. Let's speak to the state security minister now, Zizi Kotwa. Deputy Minister, thank you so much for making time. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Clement. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Is this political violence rearing its ugly head once again as we count down to the elections?
Well, if you look at the period since 2019 and what happened this past weekend, there's been a decline in terms of the deaths or events or incidents that are related to political, if you call political killings, because of the task team which is led nationally, which has been investigating and made a lot of inroads. A number of people now have been apprehended and arrested. It was one of the incidents that we had to attend immediately because it was in the context of good work that the National Task Team on Political Violence has done, and therefore we had to go immediately to understand because it happened within the context of the meeting of a political party.
Okay, so you're saying there's been a decline since 2018, but the killings are still happening. And you know about KZN being a breeding ground for hired assassins for the longest time now. And it doesn't just happen ahead of elections. It happened, I mean, there were seven people or so that were killed a couple of weeks ago. So where's the mismatch? Are you saying it's the intelligence that is working on the ground and intercepting some of the hits by these assassins? How strong is that intelligence on the ground?
Well, the intelligence has done a lot of work. There's been a lot of incabies that have been arrested. But the modus operandi element is quite a complicated and a complex one. Because when you arrest incabies, sometimes they get instructions. They don't know who's the person who's giving them instructions. What happens is that underneath your door, you get a certain instruction with this amount of money and the person that you must take out. Now, they don't know who is the person behind it. That's why there's a lot of incabies inside. Some of them, not because they are hiding with the mastermind, but I think some of the investigations are beginning to direct some of the investigations that are being done by the task team, which is led by the national police. And I think the inroads that we are making and the decline in numbers since 2019 to date, and except the few that we have just mentioned, which are linked to political parties, do indicate that perhaps we may need to deploy more and have more boots on the ground in terms of gaining more intelligence. But I must say that some of the difficulty in some of these activities, and they are more inter and intra-party. And therefore, the intelligence, as you know, we don't want to make interfere with internal processes of political parties, which is why, in the course of our work, we'll be meeting with political parties in Gauteng, in KZN, to share, because we want them to be part of making sure that we safeguard and make sure that all people are protected to participate in the coming election.
But the other political parties are not the problem here, Deputy Minister. It's intra-party politics. You don't have the DA or the UDM or what the EFF where they're busy killing each other. It's members of the ANC that are killing each other. So you should be meeting with the ANC.
Well, our view is that we don't look at which party when we are dealing with such issues, or particularly when we collect or gather intelligence. We don't look at which party you come from. That is not what we do first. What we do first is look at what the Constitution of South Africa requires, is that we must make sure that we protect, in terms of the Constitution, we protect all citizens as guaranteed their right to participate in free and fair elections, because they must participate. And therefore, if there is any threat by anybody, then in the profiling of that anybody, if that body we discover that that body is a member of any political party, that is not a consideration. So the fact that it might have happened in the political gathering of one party or another, for us, that is a major consideration. But we want to make sure that political parties, because they are a lifeblood of any democracy, themselves also help us, including the governing party, that they must make sure that they must be able to resolve their intra or internal politics without making sure, without elevating those issues, they contribute to public disorder and social
injustice. I hear you, Deputy Minister, but the problem here is that even with the framing of these kind of killings as political violence, that creates a perception that that's a societal problem. And yes, violence is a societal problem, but the violence we're talking about in this case is intra-party violence. So if you are deploying resources to be talking to a broader political landscape, you're missing the point, because it's the ANC members that have been killing each other, that are killing each other in this point. What's the point of bringing up the DA? They know what the code of conduct says. They're talking within their structures. What's the point of taking this holistic, broad approach when you can just zone in on a party that is problematic in this instance, which is the ANC?
Just to explain the point I made earlier about political parties and how we look at people who may want to do things outside of what the Constitution defines. For an example, this past weekend, there was a number of activities that were planned around the area of Tshwane, and we did a lot of work to mitigate and neutralize some of those events. That's why there was less events. But in KZN, to be specific, the two people who were killed in the meeting are not members of a political party. Remember, that is not... Let me just correct first the point we're making. The meeting was a community meeting. There was a meeting of a political party, governing party, like you say, the ANC. And those now, that meeting where the incident happened, is some of the people who did not, it is alleged, that they did not emerge from the ANC meeting and then came to the community meeting. So these are just community members who are coming to participate as part of the process of selecting their own candidates.
Okay, hold on. But are they that process they are participating in, is it an ANC process?
Well, the investigation will have to discover that, whether is it the only ANC process, or when you call the community, we are not calling members of the ANC or any political party, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the ANC. But from the preliminary investigation, that people who attended that meeting were not just members of one political party.
But those that were killed were coming from a political party branch meeting, the ANC branch meeting. That's what the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal said?
No. The meeting itself, I'm talking about the briefing we got from the police, the meeting itself, where people were killed at the gate, it was a community meeting. And that meeting followed a meeting of a governing party, a branch meeting.
People
people who are deceased are not members of a political party or a governing party, which explains that perhaps it's a community meeting where a political party would have invited people to participate as members of the community.
Okay, so you're confirming that the people who were killed in KwaZulu-Natal were not members of the ANC?
Two of them are not members of a political party.
Okay, cool. Let's move on. What's happening in these areas will no doubt deter people from participating in the upcoming elections, because you can't really guarantee people's safety, especially in areas where this kind of intra-party violence is rife.
Well, let me just say, Clement, that what happened in KwaZulu-Natal and some other areas, the pockets of these incidents, is an act of intimidation. It's an attack to the Constitution, an attack to democracy. Because the Constitution guarantees all South African citizens of their right to participate and elect a leader and also a party of their choice. And we think that it was deliberate, because the way it happened, the way it was described both by police and some of the witnesses, it was randomly shot to send a message of intimidation. But what is important is that we'll continue to do, as law enforcement agencies, including as intelligence, to safeguard. Time to time we do what is called TRA, threat assessment and threat risk assessment. There is no threat toward these elections in terms of being protected and safe elections, but there are pockets of risks. They are inherent. Some of those risks is what has happened in KZN, what would have happened, what happened in Cape Town, in Kukuletu, what happened over the past weekend in Khayelitsha, and what happened in KwaZulu-Natal. So it is this pocket that we must continue to monitor. But like I say, some of them have everything to do with intra-party. But intra-party, although we may not meddle with them, at the end of the day, that's why we make a call to political parties, including the governing party. If you convene your meetings, which ultimately your meetings may result to public disorder and social instability, then you are inviting the social cluster to come in your political space.
Are you considering the deployment of the army? And I hear you say there's no threat to the upcoming polls, but given the examples you've given, what's happened in KwaZulu-Natal, in the Northwest, in Khayelitsha, in Cape Town, that's worrying.
Well, it is concerning, but of course, as you know, that we've got already boots on the ground given what happened in July. So you don't need additionally. Fortunately, we've got, I think we're from the assessment of the police deployment, we should have sufficient in KwaZulu-Natal. You must remember, even in KwaZulu-Natal, it's not the entire province. It has pockets, mainly concentrated in eThekwini, in Gauteng, mainly concentrated in Tshwane. But what is more worrying is that there is the infiltration of a criminal element, which has got economic interest. For an example, in eThekwini, you have what is called Amadela Gokubona, who are using all these political processes of political parties for their own economic interest. You will have Boko Haram in Mamelodi areas. You'll have something called Bomba in Johannesburg, which is the same methodology, the same method of integration of selection of candidates for their own economic interest. That, for us, it worries because it makes it difficult to make a distinction because a real politician and a criminal who's using a political organization for his own nefarious agenda.
The other issue is that some of this violence is exacerbated by the fact that there's still thousands of rounds of stolen ammunition that is still unaccounted for. What briefing did you and the police minister receive with regards to this? Because not all the stolen ammunition was found in that province.
That investigation is still underway, Clement. The preliminary indications from the cartridges which were discovered at the crime scene do not indicate that some of the ammunition which was used is part of the ammunition which was stolen or which is under investigation. But we are still, the investigation is still underway about the ammunition that you're talking about, which was stolen around July.
Okay, so you've said that no threat to the upcoming elections, but is there another threat for another unrest like we saw in July?
Like I said, in relation to elections, for example, there are pockets of risks that we have identified. As you know from July, you know some of the elements, whether you call them instigators for the lack of a better word, is that people may exploit an event such as what happened in Inanda for whatever reason as a fire starter. And that is why decisively we've got to deal with those events so that they do not give rise to any other possibility. But at the moment, the security situation in South Africa is stable. There shouldn't be any worry. That's why we still have boots on the ground to make sure that now that we are going to elections, people don't use any incident as a fire starter for the July event.
But you're saying people shouldn't be worried, Deputy Minister, but how do you guarantee that the unrest can happen again when you still haven't arrested the kingpins, the people who coordinated, and I'm not using the word instigated, I'm not suggesting that the people that were busy tweeting and influencing other people to take part in the protests. I'm talking about the kingpins that you and the president had indicated in July already that you know these people and you're going after them. How do you guarantee the unrest won't happen again when those people are still out there?
About 18 people, according to police, and this was confirmed yesterday in Durban by the police minister, there are about 18 people who are now before the courts. Many of them were arrested since July. They have been denied bail. And I think let's allow our courts to make a determination whether indeed some of those individuals were what would you describe as kingpins. But the fact that there were people who were arrested, and we have seen that there's been relative stability since then, it does indicate that perhaps the state acted in a manner that does point that certain individuals were arrested. There could be more. I mean, I must indicate that investigations are still underway. Whilst we have these 18, there are still more investigations that are going on about certain individuals. Whether they are kingpins or not, our courts will make that determination.
Yeah, well, the ones that have been arrested so far, we know what charges they are facing. So those are not the kingpins. These are people that simply were, you know, fanning the fires on social media. Maybe let me play this clip. This is what the president told us, and maybe that will help us understand this idea of the coordinators of the recent unrest.
And it's quite clear that this, all these incidents of unrest and looting were instigated. The there are instigators, there were people who planned it, they coordinated it, and our intelligence services and our police have now got a line of sight of what actually was happening here with the instigation and with the coordination and the planning. And we are after those people. We are going after them. We have identified a good number of them. And we will not allow anarchy and mayhem to just unfold in our country.
So the president here on the 16th of July in KwaZulu-Natal spoke of the coordinators, the people who planned it, that as the police, a state security, you're going after them, we've identified them. But as I said, those that have been arrested are facing charges of really inciting violence, and they're not facing charges that are related to terrorism, which is what you would be charging those that coordinated and planned this so-called insurrection.
Which is why, because Clement, we are not in a junta state. You don't just arrest Ziz and say in public, we're finding where he is. You've got to prove in court. I mean, there's no charge called the coordinator. You have coordinated. There's got to be a charge in relation to what is it that evidence you have before the court of law to prove that indeed this person was behind. And that's why I don't want to jump the gun. Let's allow our courts, and I think a number of people are facing charges. It could be people who probably coordinated. They're calling themselves names in the social media, but there could have been serious people who are behind the coordination. But let's allow that investigation, which is still underway. That investigation may still identify a lot more other people may be relevant to what happened in July. But relevant to that, there shouldn't be any panic about what will happen. We think that the situation is under control. The security of the country is more stable at the moment. But however, given the fact that we are now going to elections in July, I mean, in the next few weeks, we will always keep the boots on the ground.
Okay, but what you are confirming this morning on 702 is that you are not aware of any main coordinators, the kingpins, the people who sat down and thoroughly planned this so-called insurrection that have been arrested by the police. For now, it's the instigators, and those are the people, and we've seen the charges they are facing. None of them are facing those serious charges. As it stands now, none of them are, or at the very least, have been established to be the coordinators and the kingpins.
It's the court that must establish that. Our responsibility as a state is to present evidence before the court to an extent that we believe this person was an instigator, this person was behind the mobilization, was behind the destroying and destruction of property. It's our responsibility as a state to put that evidence before the court, which is why we'll continue to do so, furtherance to the investigation that are still underway.
But so far you haven't presented the court with the evidence as the state, the evidence that suggests that here's a person or a group of people that were the main coordinators. That's what I'm trying to establish. So far as a state, you haven't presented that evidence.
There is no case of the 18 people that has been dismissed because of lack of evidence. Whether the issues of application of bail, that is something different. But we are continuing to provide that evidence in court. We can't present that evidence in court and still provide that evidence in public. But a court will evaluate the evidence that the state has provided. We are quite happy that a number of them have been denied bail since July. Because we have put a case in court that some of them, not just they are just a slight risk, but it is a possibility, a real possibility, that if we were to be released to the public again in society, they are likely to instigate more violence.
And you think out of those 18 people, there are chances that some of them may face terrorism-related charges?
We don't think that the state, having presented the evidence we have presented in court, that we should lose all the cases. But of course, the courts work differently. They will evaluate whatever evidence, but we think on behalf of the state with a strong evidence about each and every individual of the 18.
So some of them may face terrorism-related charges for planning the insurrection?
There are some already that have been charged with terrorism.
Okay. It's been over a month now since the president appointed that expert panel to assess government's response to the unrest. How much work has been done?
That panel has done a lot of work. I must indicate that a number of people within the security cluster have appeared. I have appeared a bit about 2 days ago. A number of ministers and former ministers, DGs within the cluster, and officials, and other people relevant. People, the president, given that expert, about 3 months, and I think 3 months comes to lapse in end of next month, and I think it has done extremely well. It will be able to give us some answer according to the lapses, if there were any lapses, but I think more than that, it must indicate how better we could deal with such a situation in future.
All right, and can we expect them to release a report anytime shortly?
Well, I think only the president and their work. I'm not their spokesperson, but I'm indicating that I have appeared before them, and I think they've done extremely well. If I look at the number of people that have already appeared, I mean, they are working throughout the day and weekends to make sure that they meet the deadline as set out by the president.
Has the former defense minister and the former state security minister appeared before them as well?
Well, I can only speak on behalf of the former minister of state security. Yes, I understand that yes, she has appeared.
Oh, and you're not sure if the former defense minister, Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nwakula, has appeared?
I'm certainly not sure.
I'm looking at the statement. I've been trying to find it on WhatsApp of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, who released a statement saying that they are saddened and shocked by the senseless killing of its supporters in Inanda. I know you've indicated earlier that two of those people were not ANC members, but the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, their statement on the 12th of September indicates that those who were killed were actually ANC members.
Well, I must say that when we get a briefing, as executive from the security cluster, the political party can make its own statement. So the executive, we get it from the intelligence, we get it from detectives who will go to the scene, who would have gone to the families, who would have profiled and identified the deceased. And that is the information I'm talking about.
Okay. Sizi Kotwa, thank you so much for making time.
Thanks, Clement.
That's the Deputy Minister of State Security, Zizi Kotwa. He says that there are some people that have been charged with terrorism-related charges. He says that two of the three women that were killed in Inanda are actually not ANC members, contradicting what the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal said on their statements on the 12th of December. He's saying that there are pockets of risk ahead of elections, but he says do not panic about the possibility of another unrest in South Africa. There shouldn't be any worry about that. That's what he's saying. But where are the kingpins? And are you convinced that of the 18 people that have been arrested, the NPA has managed to present a much stronger case? Much stronger case suggesting that, you know, those people would be, in fact, the kingpins and may have been a part of the group of people that the president spoke about when he spoke of the so-called coordinator. Some of you have been sending your voice notes as I was talking to Zizi Kotwa, and they've been coming through on 072-702-1702.
Morning, Clement. But these people, the deputy minister, they know who are behind Boko Haram, but they are doing nothing. And these Boko Harams are not only in Mamelodi or wherever he says they are. They are all over. Even in Moretele, they are there. And they know who is the paymaster, the kingpin for these Boko Harams.
All right. Thank you so much for your voice note.